Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. I'm sorry to say Mark Lawrence is not here today. Mark's mother passed away over the weekend, and he has family obligations today, although he did say he would be back tomorrow. So our thoughts and prayers are with his family, and we wish Mark the very best during this very, very difficult time. But in the meantime, Peg Chamberlain-Roop and I are here to hold down the fort.
Yes, we
are. Peg, you may remember, is a former news person here at Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation, news director, was once in the sales department, but that wasn't working out so good.
You have to tell everybody that.
And as former Snyder County Commissioner, now retired and enjoying the fact that she doesn't have to get up early like this every day of the week.
You're right.
So, Peg, welcome on board. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open, 570-743-9565, or email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Sunbury Motor Company is a family-owned dealership since 1915. They're on 4th Street in Sunbury, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out more about them at www.sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspection, nitrogen for tires, and they're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at www.sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials. You can build a Ford car or truck to your own specifications, and be sure to click on a coupon for the Works Fuel Saver package. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, and Kia cars. They are the premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks, and they're a master towing service with decades of experience. So, Peg.
They got it all going on, don't they?
Yes.
And I drive a Ford, and I want to say that I just passed 116,000 miles, and the vehicle operates like I bought it yesterday, and it's shiny new. I'm just saying.
Well,
just saying.
our producer's Rob Center. Rob, would you mark down a talent fee for her from Ford?
Okay, I got it.
for
the commercial.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's supposed to do the commercials.
I don't care. I like to endorse them. They're good people.
Yes, they are. Listen, we've had a lot of discussion on this program over the past and education. And you're, you know, maybe going to look at it from a different perspective than Mark and I have. Senator WHTM reported this week that on Wednesday, Senator Doug Mastriano announced a new bill that would allow parents to play a role in what their children are taught in schools. Senate Bill 340 would require schools to post every textbook, course syllabus, and state academic standard for every course offered on a publicly accessible website. Schools would be also required to update the website no more than 30 days after any changes are made. Transparency, he says, is the key to ensuring that all parents have a seat at the table and can make their voice heard on issues that impact their children. Mastriano added, schools should be focused on teaching our children how to think, not what to think. I've heard from many parents who have no idea what is being taught until they see their children's homework. This legislation ensures parents have the tools they need to be informed. The bill is now being considered by the Senate Education Committee. Good idea or bad idea, and why?
Oh, I got my hand up.
I know. Well,
First of all, parents have lots and lots of input on what they might want in their child's education. It's called through a school board. It's done through a local school board. Government cannot manage our education as well as we can. Please, please, people, keep that in mind. Contact your legislators. You do not need your legislators in a stalemate in September or before a budget needs to be passed in June dealing with something that you think needs to be in their school curriculum or some one other person might think or maybe a small pocket of people might think. You have a school board. It meets regularly. regularly. They're people among you. They are us. That is our representation to our school district, and we do have standards that we meet for testing purposes and to keep us all on the same page.
But that's
I think every school needs to govern within their own municipality.
That's like
not
saying
the state
people,
or the feds.
That's like saying people shouldn't call me as a mayor and say there's something's wrong with the community. I think you should do something about this.
No,
they
that's
should
not
just
at
say
like
no.
That.
They should just say, oh well, you're the mayor. We elected you. You figure it out.
That's not at all like that. If you want to run for school board, you can. Anybody can. I almost did. You said to me, oh, who wants to run for school board once? And you said, it's a thankless job.
It is a
no
thankless job.
Because no matter what you do, there's somebody on the other side that doesn't like what you're doing. I'm sorry, I hit my
That's
mic.
True. You're
but
absolutely right.
I'm very impassioned about this. We're talking about a school teacher shortage on the national front that is also on the local level now. We'll have to hire more administrators to take care of all the paperwork that it would require to get for the, first of all, the school board, then to the state, and then we all know what happens when it starts to get gunked up in bureaucratic gunk. Gunk. I'm done with my rant.
Okay. Well, we have a call coming in, so maybe that'll be
Let
on the topic.
Let him talk for a minute.
But here's,
no, we don't need the state telling us how to educate our kids. They give us standards by which we have to
it's
live.
It's not the state. It's the parents having a right to inject.
They
or
already
to under,
have one.
But they don't.
They do.
Look at what happened. You're ignoring what happened. During the pandemic, parents got to see what their kids were learning, and they became concerned about
good.
It.
Well, good. Now they really have a good close-up look. And I want to tell you, if the parent doesn't know what the child's learning, they're called parent-teacher conferences. They're called, they get together at the beginning of every school year for kindergarten and for children that transition from primary into the next level. I know my local school administrators don't have the time to sit down and go through every single class that's in every single level and make sure that the state approves it. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. No, take
no,
the caller.
No, but I'll stop and think a minute. The bill requires, Senate Bill 340, requires schools to post every textbook. So they don't have to do that every single day. They
do
don't change
have the textbooks in the summertime.
No,
they
wait,
have
no, listen to me for a second. Post every textbook that's being used so the parents have an idea what the name of the textbook is. A course syllabus. Teachers have to prepare a course syllabus anyhow, so it's just a matter of submitting it and putting it online.
To the state.
And state. Well,
to the state for approval.
No, this is the local school district. The state doesn't have to approve it. This is just requiring the schools to post it for the parents to see. It's not requiring that reported to the state.
Okay, they could post a list of school books, but I bet you any money if I spoke with one of my local superintendents who would say, we do this. We do this now. Parents are part of the equation, and we want them to be, and they need to be. But the problem is here, Joe, not that many parents connect. Many people see the school year, the school day, as childcare. That's what they see it as. I'm just saying the honest to God truth. People need child care during the day. They go to school. They have after school care. We go about our business. We work our job. We make our supper. We put them to bed. We get them up. We send them to school. Go.
Okay, Cindy, you're on the mark this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I 100% support that the schools should put online their curriculum and the materials that they're using to teach that curriculum.
There's not a problem with that.
Right. Well, then why are you yelling and screaming?
Because I do not think the state needs to be involved in local government. I do not think the state needs to be involved in our local education.
Well, the state isn't involved. All they're saying is you, the school district, must make this information available. Let me tell you.
And there's compliance
the
issues.
Board,
there's compliance issues, too, Cindy. It doesn't just stop there.
Well,
oh, we're going to have a law, and you got to comply by it. Then they got to comply.
Right.
And then they've got to provide all kinds of proof to the state.
Peg.
Oh,
I've
no, come on. I worked for the state. I worked for the state for years and years and years. I know.
I hear you, Peg. I've been heavily involved in the schools for decades. And I made a website for two different schools, one school, one school district. I know exactly what's involved in doing that kind of stuff. And as Mr. McGranahan quite correctly pointed out, you're already making this content in a computer, and it's simple enough to then create it into a PDF document and post it on the web.
Well,
this isn't some big onerous thing that they're asking the people to do. At one point, Selinsgrove Area School District, and I was very happy about this when I was on the board, they had every book in the library online. You could go in and search whether or not a book existed in the library, which I found very handy
that
because
is really
I was donating
that, that
books.
That's really wonderful. I appreciate hearing that.
Right. That's wonderful. You should be able to see what books are in the library. You should know what books that your child is going to be expected to read. And while some people take this in a negative way, I see it as positive that you could choose to take a trip. If you knew your kid was going to study early American history, you could take a trip to Philly and take them to Independence Hall, and they would have some grounding then when they went to fourth or fifth grade and learned about the whole process by which our Constitution.
I don't want to stop any of that. I'm not suggesting that.
When
I'm just
was on the
compliance
school board,
issue.
I called for us to put our budget and all the supporting documents online. We already made them all into PDFs, which were emailed to the school board members. This was nothing onerous. You just drag-dropped in computer talk onto the website, and they were available. But there was considerable pushback. They did not want to show people how the money was being used. I found that very disturbing. Very disturbing. Now, if you went to the school board meeting, you could pick up those very papers printed off and sitting on a table for the public to have, but they didn't want to put them online. I think that's foolishness.
But here's the issue. Let's say this is all right. I have no problem with Senator Mastriano's law. In fact, I think it's a great idea. But what happens when the parents read it and have some sort of an objection or complaint or question? Who do they tie up? Where do they go to get their questions answered?
Well, we already have policies. I would expect that every school district in the Commonwealth, all 500 of them, has a written policy about when a parent is concerned about instructional material. We already have it. It's already been in place. This has already been a fact for decades. What happens now? The parent goes in, asks to review it, sits down with the superintendent, reviews the instructional materials. I don't see how that's, you know, the end of the world.
All right, we're already doing it. That's my point. I mean, here you go. You're making a point for me. You're making a point.
Parents raised a concern about a book that was being used at the middle school. They pulled the book. I thought that was a wise thing for them to do. Because we want to avoid, in my opinion, we want to avoid the public schools being the social warfare grounds, right? So many of these issues come up, and what do? But run to the public school and make it an issue there, which disrupts what the real intent of the public school is, in my opinion, which is to teach reading, writing, mathematics, social studies, science. We all turn around and say, why don't our kids know these things? Well, could it be because the use of the schools to run all these agendas deters them and deflects them from their primary mission, which is to teach children these primary skills?
All right, but where do the parents get involved here? And we have another call, so we can't go on too much longer here. But what rights do the parents have to be involved? In other words, if I don't like the fact that my son is being taught something, let's say about race education that I don't write or I don't think is right or I don't think is accurate, what is my responsibility, if I have any, and what are my rights, if I have any?
Well, first, you want to be sure that you're correct in what it is that's being discussed. Right? It is what you think is happening in the classroom actually what's happening. But once it's confirmed and you're unhappy about it, you have every right to remove your child to the library, to be removed from that instruction if that's what you believe. And in multiple school districts, I've moved, so I didn't just grow up and live here all my life. That was the policy. If you were unhappy about, for example, the you know, your body's getting older, menstruation, masturbation, et cetera, conversation that typically happens in fourth or fifth grade, you could excuse your child from it, and they'd go to the library, and they would remain there while that instruction went on, and then they would bring your kid back to the classroom for all the other instruction.
Okay, well, that's a good point, Cindy. We'll have to explore that, but we have to take another call right now. Thanks a lot for being with us. All right, this morning, let's see here who's on the phone. Stanley, you're on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Oops, got it.
Gotcha, buddy. You're
good
on.
Good morning, Stanley. Okay. How are you today?
Sunshine is the best disinfectant, don't you think?
I agree, 100%.
Okay. So there's nothing wrong with putting a course of study and the information online for people to see.
And we already are, apparently.
And if they don't want to put it online for people to see, why not? What are they trying to hide?
Well, assuming they're trying to hide anything, I would guess that there might be something they suspect would be controversial.
I don't necessarily right. think that that's their agenda, though. I don't think teachers have time to really get into the controversy of what's going on right now.
Look, and I don't honestly, think this law is onerous to the teachers. It creates an obligation on the part of the administration to do certain things.
Which means we have to make the administration larger. There's no question about
no,
it. This
we
creates,
don't. We
yes,
have a,
it
there's
will,
a director
it will,
curriculum in every school.
That's my theory. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking administration.
Well, he just said, I don't know whether you heard him, but he said there's a director of curriculum in every school district, so.
Yeah, but that person is not just in charge of posting things online and inventorying everything, every teacher,
but
every
Peg, every
class.
School district posts so many different things. They have Facebook pages. They have all these outreach things.
If they're doing
things.
It now, then what is Mastriano's
But they're not, doing it. They're not doing it now. They have the facilities to do it, but they're not doing it now. Maybe some districts are, but not all.
Well, that's the thing. As soon as we get the state government involved, it just becomes bureaucratic.
But it's
I'm
a state law.
You.
It's not the state government being involved.
But it's a state law. Somebody has. Who's going to enforce it? Who's going to enforce it? We need enforcement.
The state is already heavily involved in the education system right now.
Boom.
Correct?
Let's make it more. Let's make
well,
it more.
To require them to post something so that people have information is a bad thing?
No, they already do. I'm just saying. If they're going to make a change, they have to go through all these steps to get it approved. Oh, my God.
No, to put it all on so you don't have to, so people don't have to take time out of their day to run to the school district to demand, to request it, because you have to request it, then they have to approve it. But if it's online, it's available freely for everyone to look at.
Right,
what
and it
is
already
the problem
is.
With that?
It already is, apparently. That's what I've been told. That's what people keep saying.
Obviously not all of it.
Well, there you go. Who's going to enforce that?
Well, you know, that it's up to the school district to do the job that they're required to do.
Who enforces every stop sign on every street? I mean, if somebody's there, if the police, if somebody abuses
it
or complains.
The argument works both ways, you know,
but here's,
Joe.
Here's the problem. That Senator Mastriano's bill, I think, makes a great deal of sense. It requires school districts to post every textbook. All right, that's one time. Maybe once a year they have to analyze what textbooks are being used. They post it online. A course syllabus. The teacher develops the syllabus anyhow, or the school district develops the syllabus they want taught. Post it online.
I'd like to see the syllabus. I'd like to hear from a teacher who says that.
State academic
standards. I
want
to hear what a teacher thinks of this.
State academic standards for every course offered on a publicly accessible website. Three things. That's all they're required to put up.
There's more to that bill than that. It is certainly not a one-pager.
Not a one-pager. What I think should be required?
What?
Is for every class to be televised for the parents to watch, not for the general public. Then the parents of the children in each class should have a code or whatever, because we know that it's possible to, you know, broadcast all the classes because they did it for 2 years during COVID. So we know it's possible. Now, I don't say that the general population should be able to look into those classes every day. The parents should be able to see what their kids are being taught. A lot of this stuff has come about in the past 2 years or so because of the parents seeing what was being taught in these schools. That's why this is coming about.
I haven't seen a huge uprising.
Not for any other reason.
I haven't seen a huge uprising, though. I really haven't. Have you?
Yes.
What was that?
People are getting upset. People on your side of the aisle are getting upset about Senator Mastriano's bill.
Oh, stop the aisle thing. I hate that. I'm a parent. I'm a grandmother. I went through the public school system. I don't need to, you know, have an aisle thing. It's an education for my grandchildren and their children, and I worry about that. I do.
Maybe not in this area. We don't have a big problem. But all across the country, school boards have been really, really screwing up.
Well,
and a lot of them were replaced by people that didn't agree with them.
Can I ask one question of you? I want to ask you a question. You know, when somebody gets elected to a position like congressman or commissioner, you think they walk in the door, or school board, you think they walk in the door and they know everything. And they think that, too. And I'm going to say that from personal experience. They think they know it all. And they don't.
I understand that.
And there is a change that takes place in a wave sort of thing when elections occur and new members are appointed or new members are elected to a school school board or new members are elected to Congress. They go there. Congress is the one that upsets me the most. They go there for a year, still trying to find their office, and then a year later they have to start the campaign to get reelected. There's a whole bunch of things that happen in, you know, in the course of transitioning people onto a school board.
Stan, we'll
a lot
you,
of them are ignorant, and a lot of them need to learn.
Stan,
I don't mean
we're going to give you the final word because we've got to take a break here. Go ahead.
Sunshine is the best disinfectant, and that's all this is shine the light upon what is going on so people have better access to it. That's
okay.
All it's just trying to do, and I don't have a problem with it.
I like sunshine.
I need to go a little bit further with broadcasting the classes to the parents.
Oh, that we'll explore
thought.
That idea coming back. Thanks, Stan.
You are my sunshine.
We got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more of On the Mark in just a moment.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Progressive presents 10 things on a contractor's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Bidding a new client, giving an accurate estimate, finding affordable materials, getting a client to pay you for work you already did, getting a client to pay you, period, securing permits and workers and tools, getting those workers and tools to work together, and finding the perfect pair of overalls. Pockets, baby. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
A good work partner knows what you need before you need it. That's how it feels when you work with Cintas. Your dedicated Cintas service reps get to know your business and have the industry knowledge that can help you prepare for what's ahead. They'll deliver your team's workwear freshly laundered. Make sure your first aid and safety supplies, mats, mops, and towels are stocked when you need them. And your fire extinguishers are inspected and in working order. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, along with Peg Chamberlain-Roop. We're talking about education, specifically about Senator Doug Mastriano's bill, House Senate Bill 340, which would require schools to post every textbook, course syllabus, and state academic standard for every course offered on a publicly accessible website, which most school districts already have.
Well, I don't know. The Senate bill's not on a publicly accessible website at the moment.
Well, you know, there are three simple requirements here. And my question, I go back to what I asked Cindy when she was on the phone. Once you post all this and the parents read it, if they have an issue, what happens next? How is that addressed? Is it, you know, at that point, I think you what you're saying comes into play, that if I'm upset about something, I go not to my school district, but I go to my school board. And I call a school board director and I say, listen, I read this course syllabus and it has things in here I think are terribly detrimental to my child's education, and I'd like to talk to you about it, or I'd like to talk to somebody about it. And I think that that's maybe what we should be doing here instead of going back to the school district and complaining right off the top.
I wanted to add something there. You know, you talked about there's somebody on the staff who has a syllabus. All right, well, so who's looking at these courses before they're put in there? I'm sure it's not just one person looking at the syllabus. I'm sure that it's not one person looking at the books. They have to have a committee. And I bet you any money that the Selins Grove School Board also has a subcommittee in the Shikellamie School Board and Lewisburg School District. I bet they have subcommittees that look over their books. And I know that they have public comment periods. It's required. So, you know, they have opportunity.
True.
I understand posting online would be really convenient for everybody, but it's really not. It's really not integral to our education. If you want educating our children, all I care about is that our children are getting a well-rounded education and a thought-provoking environment that's safe.
Well, our phone number
should have been the first word.
Our phone number is 570-743-9565. We welcome you to join in on this topic. One of the things Cindy said about, and I think here's another question that this brings up. She said, if you disagree with something that your child is being taught, you may request that child to be removed to the library. But what happens? All right, so you do that. Your kid is now taken to the library. They're excused from this instruction that you find offensive or difficult. But when the test comes about, is the test going to be different for that child who was excluded from the material that was, you know, being discussed?
It would have to be.
Huh?
It would have to be adapted. They'd have to take a section in addendum, I'm
right,
certain.
But here's the, you're missing my point. If the course says this is what you need to learn, and a parent says, no, I don't want my child to learn this, and they take them out, why should that child be given a different test than the kids who were required to learn the basic material?
The parent objected. They have that option now. We all do.
All right, so they object, but what, you know, how can a teacher then, you're talking about extra work for teachers and having two different tests on the same material or in the same classroom.
You put this online, it's not going to make one difference a bit, maybe even more of a difference if people come forward and complain. So there you go. I mean, it makes my argument. It will create more work. There's no question in my mind.
All right, and what kind of complaints are valid?
From a kid or a parent? I don't know, Joe. That's the kind of thing that really takes a lot of work. I really considered the people that I put on a school board because I want them to evaluate this. I want them to know about child psychology, and I want them to know about changing times and the world around us, and should we be teaching our kids how to deal in an internet world or in a face-to-face world? It's changing
you can't
so
blow,
fast.
You can't blow this stuff off because it cost the governor's race in Virginia. It made the governor's race in Virginia. Parents are now getting really involved in their kids' education. Isn't that a good thing?
That's a good thing. I'm glad they are. I really am. But I don't think that we need to create another arm of oversight from the state. And if that bill creates an arm of oversight, then I'm against it. If it's just a matter of... I'm trying to look up the bill. We've tried forever and ever, and apparently it's not accessible online. My point being, though, that we just don't need... Cindy said it. We're there to teach these kids reading and writing and mathematics and science and... provocative thinking.
Mastriano in his statement said something I think's right. He said we should be teaching children how to think, not what to think. Do you agree with that?
To a certain degree.
Oh, you think we should be teaching kids what to think?
No, but right and wrong.
Well,
and you got to give them the
whose definition of right, whose definition of wrong. We'll have to pursue that when we get back. We've got to take a break for the news. We'll be back with more of On the Mark and WKOK Sunbury, Pennsylvania. I'm Joe McGranahan with Peg Chamberlain Roop. We invite you to call us at 570-743-9565.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Protests in Israel have now spread to Washington, D.C., after Prime Minister Netanyahu fired his defense minister for opposing changes to the courts there. Correspondent Charlie Daggett begins team coverage from the Foreign Desk.
Critics have come down hard on Netanyahu's highly controversial plans to overhaul the judicial system. The proposals would see government control over the appointment of judges, including the Supreme Court, while restricting the court's rights to veto legislation. legislation or rule against the government.
I'm Cammy McCormick. The Israeli Foreign Ministry Union has instructed its Israeli embassy staff worldwide to join the strike against the judicial overhaul. That includes the embassy here in the U.S. It is closed until further notice, and no consular services are being provided. But this call affects Israel's diplomatic missions around the world.
Bankrupt SVB branches are opening under a new name today. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
First Citizens Bank shares, another large regional bank, is purchasing large swaths of Silicon Valley Bank's assets.
The FDIC says First Citizens will take on all deposits and loans. Lives have been torn apart in rural Mississippi by an EF4 tornado that killed at least 26 people.
Trying to get what we can out of the rubble. It's pretty shocking.
President Biden has declared a major disaster, and there's more severe weather in the forecast for parts of the South today. A nuclear-powered U.S. aircraft carrier has begun exercises with South Korean warships hours after another batch of missile tests by the North. Reporter Alex Jensen is in Seoul.
North Korea has made no secret of feeling threatened by joint U.S.-South Korean military drills, and its latest counter was a test involving two short-range ballistic missiles, according to the South's military. Despite the end of large-scale 11-day Allied drills, they are still holding exercises, including a drill at sea.
Twitter says it's looking for a leaker. CBS's Matt Piper.
Twitter has acknowledged through a legal filing yesterday that part of its source code has been leaked online. Source code is the computer code that runs the social media site. First reported by the New York Times, the legal document filed by Twitter asked the website GitHub to take down the code that someone posted.
It's a celebrity watcher's delight in London. First Prince Harry made a surprise appearance at court in a privacy case against the tabloid Daily Mail today. Then Elton John showed up. S&P futures up 26. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-330-1991. That's 1-800-330-1991. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-330-1991. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Strikes are making it difficult to get around Germany today.
The S-Bahn is affected by the strike.
Flights canceled, train stations deserted, commuters and long-distance travelers alike going nowhere.
Streiken darf jeder, kann auch jeder.
Well, everyone has a right to strike, this man says.
Das finde ich einfach nicht okay.
It's not okay, this retiree says. Most of these workers are already paid well from my taxes. The unions are demanding inflation-busting pay hikes. So far, the answer's been no. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
We may have switched from sweats to real pants after the pandemic, but lots of us are still wearing Crocs.
The only decision you'll have to make is, what color should I get?
Last month, quarterly sales rose 61%. Overall, they're up 200% since 2019. And the company's stock has soared 167% since January of 2020. New York Times credits a steady stream of new styles. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
A good work partner knows what you need before you need it. That's how it feels when you work with Cintas. Your dedicated Cintas service reps get to know your business and have the industry knowledge that can help you prepare for what's ahead. They'll deliver your team's workwear freshly laundered, make sure your first aid and safety supplies, mats, mops, and towels are stocked when you need them, and your fire extinguishers are inspected and in working order. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
I had a nighttime routine for my frequent heartburn. I would drink milk, I would sleep upright with more pillows, but that painful burning stayed. So I made Prilosec OTC part of my morning routine. With just one pill each morning, Prilosec OTC prevents excess acid production, blocking heartburn day and night. Now I have a new nighttime routine. I call it sleeping.
One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn with Prilosec OTC. It's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Thank you. Welcome back on board. I'm here today with Peggy Chamberlain Roop. Mark Lawrence is off today. Unfortunately, Mark's mother passed away over the weekend, and he has family issues that he's working on today. We extend to Mark and his family our deepest and most sincere sympathy, and Mark has said he will return tomorrow, so we'll look forward to having him back, but we do share his grief and sorrow at the loss of his mother. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. They sell Ford, Hyundai, and Kia cars. They're the premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks, and a master towing service with decades of experience. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicle, state inspection, nitrogen for tires, and they're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Saturday, 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. They bring you On the Mark. They're located at North 4th Street in Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Check them out online at www.sunburymotors.com.
Hey, and my Ford's still out there.
Okay, good to hear it.
I just want to let you know, I went out and checked it.
We're going to take a quick look at our news headlines this morning. Two people were taken to the hospital and about a dozen are homeless following a two-alarm fire in Sunbury on Sunday. Northumberland County Communications told WKOK Sunday that numerous volunteer fire crews were called to 1121 Miller Street around 11:30 a.m. That home and two neighboring homes were heavily damaged. A second alarm was called minutes later, according to Northumberland County FireWire. First responders found smoke and flames coming through the roof, and fire was affecting multiple structures. A GoFundMe site has been set up to help the families. The post said funds are to help Holly Kenworthy, who lived in a neighboring home, which was also heavily damaged. The site says Holly and her fiancé have three children, from toddlers to teenagers, and a pet dog, and will need all essentials. Sunbury Fire Chief Ron Rupp said a fire marshal is helping to investigate the fire, which is not considered to be suspicious. State police at Stonington say they are looking for a 15-year-old runaway girl missing since Saturday, but that she has been located. Troopers say the teen was last seen by family Thursday night in Cameron Township, Northumberland County, and turned up missing on Friday. Sunday evening, troopers say she was located. And the AP is reporting a fifth person was confirmed dead and three people remained unaccounted for Sunday, 2 days after a powerful explosion at a chocolate factory shook a small town in Pennsylvania. In a press release from West Reading Mayor Borough Council President Ryan Linneweaver, a fifth victim was found under debris Sunday at the R.M. Palmer Company plant in the borough of West Reading, about 60 miles northwest of Philadelphia. Holman asked for continued prayers for the community and vowed that rescuers and officials will not rest until every single person affected by this tragedy has been accounted for from the blast that occurred just before 5 p.m. on Friday. That's our look at the news headlines. We have a caller waiting. Joseph from Milton, you're on the mark.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about Mark's loss there.
Yeah, she's a lovely lady, I must say.
Yeah, I never knew her or anything, but we always grieve, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I loved her dearly, and I'm sure Mark did.
I wanted to comment on the question you asked about, should they give a special test to children that their parents don't want to set in on a certain subject, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And, no, not necessarily. For example, I wouldn't want my children, of course, they're all grown now, but to sit on a class of evolution, you know, about evolution, because we don't believe in evolution. And but I would tell my children this: answer the question about evolution. They say a question would be, well, when did just for instance, when did the Big Bang appear? Well, that would, the answer would be 13. Well, I think 7 billion years ago, they say. But of course, we believe in creation. You know, in other words, give the answer they want, but clarify it by the truth of the matter. Another example: my granddaughter, she lives in Reading, and she's going to a Christian school, and they have certain questions that they ask, and some of them about Christian doctrines and things like this, you know. And for instance, they may have a question: oh, when did the Savior die, and when did he rise again? Now, of course, everyone would say, well, that would be Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But I would tell her, and she's called me about several of these questions, well, put the answer down that they want. But then say, according to the Bible, he died on Passover, and 3 days and three nights later arose from the dead, irrespective of what the Council of Nicene said. You understand what I'm saying?
It's nice that you put Easter into it, though. How timely. Here we are talking about that, and it is Easter. Right. It's a difficult time.
But I think the difficult...
I think in the simplest manner of things in schools that are being taught today is respect and discipline. If you can have all the curriculums you want, and if you don't, and you see the classrooms, I see it on the news, they're beating up teachers, and it's just chaos in the classroom because there is no respect, and there is no corporal action for their disrespect in the form of discipline.
Joe, can I say one thing real quickly about that? What you're seeing on television and what you're seeing on your internet, you're seeing a very, 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 very small percentage of what actually happens. What happens is we see only the bad things that happen in these schools, and I'm not talking about school shootings. I don't even want to go there at this time, but I'm saying... kids act out in classrooms for many reasons,
and it happens.
But that's the only one you'll see. You'll very seldom, unless ABC News is going to do one of their fluffy pieces about what this little girl did to raise money to help her teacher who had cancer. You know what I mean? You're only seeing the bad. The news is only going to show you the bad.
There was a small story this morning on Gordon Deal's program, America's First News, about the shortage of ADHD or ADD medications, particularly. I forget, is it Ritalin? There's a shortage of it.
Albuterol too.
What they're seeing is kids fighting in schools, behaviors, you know, becoming more and more difficult. So some of it could be related to the fact that medications are in short supply. But on the other hand,
why do they have to be medicated?
Some kids do. Just it's way some people do, honey. I mean,
we didn't have that diagnosis when I was a kid, Joseph, and I think probably you didn't either.
No.
And so what really happened was the kid got his fanny warm by what the teachers called the Board of Education.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, since the '60s, that's when all hell broke loose in this Dr. Spock generation, and we're seeing the outcome of it now. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on.
It is crazy.
School shootings back before then.
It is crazy.
In this nature.
It is crazy, but Joe, you know what? It's not such a bad world that we're living in when you look around the world in the world around us right now. We're not living in such a bad place. We don't really need to make any new problems for ourselves. We've got plenty to deal with, don't you? Don't you agree? I mean, there's famine, and there's hurricane, and tornado damage down south, and you look up out over in Israel where there's all that unrest, and they just had another earthquake in Afghanistan. I'm just trying to put
You just said we were in a good place, and you cited a whole pile of disasters.
No, but we're right here. Right here in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. I'm sitting here in a really good place, Joe.
Here's my point, and I'll leave it at this. When the great flood came upon this earth in the time of Noah, everybody knows about that.
Yep, the big ark.
It says, please, let me speak. The Bible says, Yahweh said that the heart of man was only continually evil and that there was violence everywhere, and he killed all of humanity except 8 people in the ark. That's our Heavenly Father did that. And he said, the Savior, when he come on the scene, he said, my second coming will be like it was in the days of Noah. So there we are. We're getting there real fast.
All right.
The violence is throughout the land. People are afraid to walk down the streets in most cities. And it's just, and that's what it is. These are facts.
Fair enough, Joseph. Thank you. Appreciate your call. Our phone number is 570-743-9565. We have 2 callers waiting and a couple of emails, but we're going to take the next caller right now. Tom, you're on the mark from Sunbury.
Morning, Tom.
Hi. Good morning, Peg. I wanted to comment. You had mentioned to hear from a teacher. I was a teacher.
Okay.
And in a local district, and I want to state it's a phenomenal job.
No.
It has changed, and a lot of it not for the good. But I think what I wanted to get across today is that I'm not sure having the state weigh in on this is a great idea. What people are missing, if there's trouble, if a parent who is one of the most critical parts of education has an issue or a question, they shouldn't go to the school board or the principal. The first phone call, not text, phone call, something personal, should be to the teacher. And the teachers that I know of and worked with would welcome this. 95% are phenomenal. Just like, you have some poor teachers, but you have poor priests, you have poor firemen, you have poor
doctors, everything. Yep, you're right.
Pick your poison.
But Tom, what if I ask you? What if I said to you, "I don't like what you're teaching my son. I don't think he should learn this or that thing." How do you respond to that as a teacher?
Well, I'll gladly get that. I just wanted to finish my point.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll be glad to get to that. Or text. And any teacher worth their salt, and I think there many are worth their salt, would respond back and say, "Come on in. Let's sit. Let's talk about this. Let's figure out what's going on." And I tell you, most issues can be resolved in 15 minutes of conference. And if it doesn't work, then you go to the next step, which would be the principal. It's a two-way communication. And you know, you hire a teacher to teach. Let them. They have someone looking over their shoulder. They should know what the curriculum is, and then they teach to the curriculum or as far as they can, and worry about the PSSAs later.
Yep.
Work them in.
I hear you.
And as far as setting up letting the materials, that should be an easy thing to do. And the last thing before I get to your point, Joe. It's a simple thing. It's a relationship. It doesn't happen the day the kids walk in the door, especially with elementary, and a lot were self-contained. And we're fortunate in this local districts that we live in. I'm not talking about solutions for inner city Philly or Los Angeles. That's a whole other issue. I'm talking about where we are and how fortunate we are. But the important thing is when they come in, you say, okay, here. You know, you don't have 20 rules that they look at. You get across that we're going to start with respect, communication. We're going to problem solving, and you do what a normal person does. You don't have to put a rule up. Don't spit on each other.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Right.
I don't care where it is. And to get back to your point, Joe, am I getting that you ask, what do you do when you don't agree?
Right.
Is that what you meant?
If I think you're teaching something I don't want my child to learn, how do you handle that as a teacher?
I would say, well, that's okay. You have choices. You could pull them out. They could sit there and not be responsible for the material. And if we can't work on a solution, then it would be up to the principal to do that. But almost always, Joe, and I sincerely mean this, there's usually a solution. And generally speaking, the teachers that teach, if they're going by the curriculum, it's laid out. One of the problems is this, I think. I think we skip events, current events. And I would say, at least elementary-wise, open up the first 10 minutes as always. As, you know, they come in, they get situated, you do the pledge, you do everything, and then talk about, does anybody have a question, what's going on in the news, and things like that. That, I think, is important. And there's some issues that are too sensitive. You say, that's probably not what we should be speaking about. Check with mom and dad. But I just think we don't teach real school anymore. And I think the solution, and I, this isn't being idealistic or anything like that, but I used to say to the parents, you are the key. You are the key to education. I just want to make sure I continue on doing what I'm supposed to be doing and bring that child along to the next year. But you need a relationship not only with the kids, but with the parents. And that's easy for me to say because of being in an elementary with maybe 25 students being there. It's tougher for middle school, who might see several hundred through the different periods.
Fair
enough. Would never hurt. It never does hurt, and it's been done and did it. After 2 or 3 weeks of school, tell the kids, hey, I'm going to be checking in with your parents. And this has worked and paid dividends. Make a 2-minute phone call and say, hi, I'm Joe's teacher. I'm just checking in. There's no problems. Are you happy with the way things are going? Do you think Joe's progressing nicely? Is there anything you want to talk to me about?
Fair
enough.
You
would not believe how that opens up doors.
Okay.
That's my spiel.
Well, that's a good spiel, Tom. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks,
appreciate
Tom.
Your call. Call us again. We've got to take a quick break. Harry, hold on, and we'll be right back with more of On the Mark on WKOK in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. But first, these very, very important messages.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. 3 dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
At Easycater, food for work is our thing. Maybe that's why we get orders from 93% of Fortune 500 companies. So what's up with the other 7%?
Everyone, meet our newest employee, Susan. She has an idea that is going to revolutionize our food ordering.
Hi, Susan.
So nice to meet you.
Unfortunately, she just gave her notice, and today is her last day.
I'm going to miss her.
Why don't all companies order through Easycater? Who knows? Order 24/7 from over 95,000 restaurants on easycater.com. Easycater, food for work. It's our thing.
Mr. Clean.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did, for a breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Select a request $3 breakfast deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte combo orders.
Progressive presents 10 things on a contractor's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Bidding a new client, giving an accurate estimate, finding affordable materials, getting a client to pay you for work you already did, getting a client to pay you, period, securing permits and workers and tools, getting those workers and tools to work together, and finding the perfect pair of overalls. Pockets, baby. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, BTM.
They haven't seen anybody who does what Penn State does, bringing it out of the mid-post and out to the perimeter and then swinging it across. There's no player in the SEC. There are no players in the country quite like Jalen and what he's able to do with that.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones with Final Four is set. We'll talk about it today. 3 to 5 News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Peggy Chamberlain Roof. 570-743-9565. Let me repeat that. 570-743-9565. Join the conversation as Harry has done from Sunbury. Good morning, Harry. You're on the mark.
Morning, Harry. Is there still a smoke haze over the city of Sunbury from that fire?
No, it's okay now.
It is okay now?
I live close to it, too. I'm about three blocks away from it.
Big fire. Yeah. Big, devastating fire. Yeah, it was awful.
Well, I worked yesterday, so I missed that. The thing with the school board that I think there's many layers with this. One, I think, in my opinion, once the school boards and school districts are taking money from taxpayers, which is parents and people who aren't parents, and I think there are some things that they have to have looked at that other entities may not. And if that's education of our children, then I think that makes it doubly important. That's my opinion. The other thing that I find ironic is that for years, parents kind of dumped their kids in the school, for lack of a better term, to let the teachers not only be the teachers, but to basically be their babysitters as well. So it's ironic now that they are finally taking an interest again in education, which they should. What bothers me, though, is I think that we have crossed the line that many, many times what is being taught in schools isn't so much education, but going towards an indoctrination. You know, you go and you look, and whether it's isolated incidents or not doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that it happens at all, is the fact that you have people who are reading things that their children as students were supposed to be reading or being taught in schools, and then being shut down by a member of the school board or by the school board at meetings saying, oh, that's disgusting and inappropriate to read, but yet you're asking impressionable young children, some of them as young as elementary school age, to read that, and yet there's nothing wrong with it in school, but there's something wrong if the parent objects to it in a public meeting. And then the parents get identified as domestic terrorists by Merrick Garland and the Biden administration. There is nothing wrong with, why can't there be, and it scares me to say that I think Doug Mastriano had a good idea. I don't know if it's a great idea or not, but I think it's a start. But I've never thought of him as a coherent thinker in any way. But I think that the simplest way with this is get the parents involved. Have an advisory council with a cross-section of parents involved with the school board and the curriculum. You know, you were talking about, Peggy, I think it was you, who said there's a director of curriculum now. When those of us who are a little more seasoned, like us three, we remember when there was a superintendent, a principal, and a vice principal, and they could run everything.
Yeah.
Now you've got 8 or 10 people doing the job that two people used to do. Whether that's necessary or not, I can't answer because I'm not in the schools every day. So let me preface that, preface by saying that. But it seems like we're not worrying about core educations. We're worrying about, I don't know what we're worrying about. I think it's more indoctrination but we don't worry about critical thinking anymore. And that's what students should be taught, critical thinking.
Well, Harry, apparently Senator Mastriano says the kids should be taught how to think, not what to think. But I don't know that his bill addresses that issue. Do you, from what you know of it, do you think it does?
I think he deals in sound bites, not reason. And I don't think
score
that he does either.
For Peggy. Thank you. It's just one more layer, and like you said, you got to peel it back. It's like an onion; you peel it back. Sometimes you only got 1, 2, 3 layers. Sometimes you got 4, 5.
But I agree.
And maybe it's rotten in the middle.
Listen,
you know,
I studied to be a history teacher. That's what I wanted to do with my life. Unfortunately, I took another career. Well, fortunately, I took another career path in broadcasting. But I know that you can teach history in such a way that you convey your personal beliefs about what happened to the student, or you could teach the facts, not just dates, which makes it cold and clinical, but you can examine both sides of an issue, and you can do it fairly without putting your own personal opinions in. Many times, though, I think that in the education system, we are putting in our personal opinions, or we're using some, in today's world, woke technology. We have to, the three words, inclusion, equity, and forget what the third, diversity.
Diversity.
That I mean, that's what we're focusing on. We're not focusing on teaching kids how to think. We're teaching them what to think based on those three objectives.
Well, and that's why the bill itself is not offensive to me, but I don't think that it addresses what the issues are with what's being taught. And that's what bothers me. I don't want, my kids are all grown, and they have kids who are almost all grown, but I don't want the school teaching them about I don't remember who said it earlier. I think it might have been
one of the callers.
But I don't want them, the school teaching my, in textbooks, teaching my my children and grandchildren about masturbation and everything else. That's not education, and that is stuff. Sexual education should start with the parent.
Sex education was a big controversy when you and I were in school. Do you remember? And you had to
not
opt out of it.
No.
You don't remember that? Parents got all
not
upset because they were teaching the girls about menstruation and they were teaching the boys about birth control, well, about prevention and cleanliness. It was a big deal when I was in high school.
Yeah, but I don't have a problem with that stuff if it's age-appropriate.
But
when they're teaching third graders, first and second graders, about transgenderism, that's not age-appropriate.
Well,
no,
unless they have a question about it, you know, they encounter it, then they need to, it needs to be explained in a way that they would understand.
That's still for the parents.
That's exactly for the parents, that's completely for the parents.
Yeah.
However,
and that does not belong in the school.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? What about when you have one or two children like this in your class? You know, you can't exclude them, and you can't.
One or two children like what?
A transgender. Suppose you have a transgender child in your class.
A third grade transgender child?
Maybe. You don't know. I mean, I don't know. Joe, do you know that much about it? Do you know enough about it to call yourself an expert? I don't think.
I don't call myself an expert, but
on
I can tell you one thing. I don't think any
third...
When I was in junior high school, I wasn't even certain what sex I was opposite. We just didn't know that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, see, but
today,
we've evolved.
Today,
so
we're now
bad.
Talking about teaching third graders about being gay. And yes, there are times when if they have a question, it should be answered fairly and honestly.
Boom.
But if they don't have a question, it shouldn't be forced down their throat to make them question what their parents are teaching them at home.
Then should be come and take home, ask your mom and dad.
Right.
That's a good
the
answer.
Way I agree.
That's a good
We're
answer
not
for a
that
teacher.
Moral. Harry, we'll give you the last word, buddy.
No, I agree, and that's the problem right now. Though, is we are not education has to be was always meant to be and has to be a partnership between home and school, and until the schools get out of being the be all and end all. The education system will continue to flounder.
Yep, fair enough. Thank you, Harry. Appreciate your call,
nice
as always.
Nice hearing from you,
Take
Harry.
Care. You know, I can remember when I was in school, if I did something wrong or something, I got in trouble with the teacher, when I came home, I would get my posterior warmed.
No, I was never a posterior warmed kind of girl.
But today, it seems like many times the teachers are considered to be at fault the minute they bring something up to the parents, you know, of bad behavior. Well, my little Johnny wouldn't do that.
Well, it's so like I was reading one of the emails that came into us or a text message that said, yeah, you can put the film on the cameras in the classroom, but then what about when your child gets in trouble? Do you jump off the chair and run to school to try to defend your kid? There's a million privacy issues with putting cameras into a classroom. Do you have cameras on in here right now?
No, we don't.
You used to, though.
We did.
But then you caught people picking their nose or, you know, like somebody farted kind of thing. You know, there's certain times things that don't need to be. We're on radio, you know. Turn your ears on and listen to
well,
us.
Well, some refined people do listen, Peg.
Yeah,
we don't usually discuss flatulence on the air in
well,
graphic
you know,
detail.
This morning I accidentally said something. Oh, I turned a daggone thing on, you know, but that's not the word I use. You said the mics are hot. Things happen.
Right. Well, one of our emailers says, and this is interesting because it ties into what Harry said and what you've been saying, is it possible that it's just the fact that Mastriano proposed this bill? You think because
yeah,
a lot
like
of people
it.
On the left don't like Mastriano? Satriano? That
I don't
that's
like
the reason?
Him at all because it seems that his motives, he has ulterior motives, and I'm just done with him. That's that. I never was with him, but I just don't care to hear any more from him. And it seems to me, yes, I will honestly say that I am tainted. That anything that he proposes, I would be, you know, I'm against until somebody tells me otherwise.
Well, okay.
Until somebody gives me more details that would make me in favor. I'm not completely closed-minded. It's like, oh, because Joe said no, I'll say no. And I'm not like that, but in a way, I'm very cautious about anything that he does.
Well, yeah, but the basic premise of his what he's trying to shoot for. Well, it's true. Should we teach kids what to think or how to think?
Well, that's not my decision to make. Now it's the parents. You know, my dad taught me something.
But isn't that the school board? Isn't that what the school board does when it creates a curriculum or approves a curriculum?
School board approves.
Don't they have an obligation to make sure that we're not indoctrinating children, but that we're educating them and making them critical thinkers?
Well, we do, and I believe we have a device in place. I do. I truly do. I don't think... Have you heard of anything around us within...
Around here,
100
no.
miles?
Well, go
within
to...
Within 500 miles.
Go to the... Yes, Philadelphia. Pittsburgh,
all
Harrisburg.
Right. In the larger populated areas, they're having a problem, but they have a problem with everything.
But
right now, water, you
education
know?
Is so critical to our kids, and they're growing up and learning how to cope in life, you know, and I think if you teach a kid how to think, to teach them that it's important to analyze every aspect of something and make up your own mind. You know, that's what I don't like when a parent says to a kid, you know what, we're liberals here in this household or we're conservatives in this household and this is what we believe. I think it's fair to teach your kid both sides of that issue and let them decide for themselves. Now, my wife and I are both conservative. Our son is about as liberal as they come. But he thought for himself. And I applaud him for that. I don't agree with him, but I applaud his being willing to look at the facts and arrive at his own conclusions.
A real old-school supporter of mine, I went to them and said, are you a Republican? And they said, yeah, it's on my birth certificate. You know, I mean, there are people that are indoctrinated to this style of life, this form of education, their particular political party, their beliefs, their church. We all have little tiny leaves that take us in a different direction. Paths is a better choice of words. Paths that take us in a different direction based on what our parents taught us, what we learned in school, maybe what we learned in Sunday school, maybe what we learned on the playground.
Sure, we're the product of our environment.
Yeah, we're
that's exactly what we are.
And I don't necessarily want the state to be involved in that. That's where I'm going with that.
Look at what we're asking of teachers today. First of all, they're mandatory reporters. They see anything at all, they have to report it.
You're making my point.
You know, back in my day, the teacher would more than likely hit you with a ruler. I got what? Now they're mandatory reporters. If they see somebody who has hit the kid with a ruler, they've got to report it.
When I was in junior high school, boys could pick a paddle or a suspension, but girls never got paddled. Isn't that something? And girls always wore skirts, too. But I got in trouble, and you were sent outside the classroom. If you were sent to the vice principal's office, it was trouble. But I knew him really well.
Well, you spent a lot of time in his office, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit. I protested a lot. I questioned. I was very... outstanding in my junior high.
I can't believe you weren't docile and submissive.
he said this, and I challenged it every time. And then they moved him to the high school, and I went to high school, too. Then we really got to know each other.
But, you know, you look at all this stuff, and you're right. Your kid's a product of his environment and what he learns at home. But whose responsibility is it to teach a kid whether he's right or wrong? Isn't it his own responsibility to look at the facts and make up his own mind or her own mind? Isn't that what you did?
Yeah,
I mean, can you say that you adopted anything because your parents told you that's how you should feel?
Yes.
What?
Yes, yes. I heard somebody complaining about having to pay their school taxes. I was a young girl, and I didn't understand. What do you mean, playing? And the guy said, I don't even have kids in school. And my dad said, okay, let me put it to you this way. You're paying for your own education. You're paying for yourself. You're alive, and you're now paying for your education. And the guy goes, that's pretty expensive education when I went to school. Well, if you didn't take advantage of the education that you're paying for today, you're paying for yourself. Everybody pays for themselves to go through school.
Good idea.
It's happening. I mean, when these kids go third, fourth, fifth, 16, then they start paying school taxes.
Yes.
And for the rest of their life, they'll pay school taxes. No, but they're paying for themselves.
Well,
you're paying it backward.
Well, yeah, you're right.
You're not paying. I didn't pay school taxes twice because I had two kids. I paid one time. That was for me. When they get older and they're generating income, they'll pay school taxes for themselves.
Unless you send your kid to a parochial school,
well,
and then you pay twice.
Well, that's our option here in the United States.
It is.
We're one of these other schools that are available to them. I mean, they're welcome to choose that. And the Christian academies, you know, that's another thing. These Christian academies, we're going to have them in this fancy rule.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back. 570-743-9565. 570-743-9565. Or email us at onthemark@wkok.com. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company.
If you own a small business, you've probably been hearing a lot about the ERC. How it's worth up to $26,000 per employee, how easy it is. You know the spiel. So why am I still talking to you about it now? Because many of you still haven't filed a claim. But Innovation Refunds can help you close the book on this thing. They're backed by one of those big CPA firms the corporations use, so they can determine once and for all if your business qualifies. And it's free to find out. Go to InnovationRefunds.com. That's InnovationRefunds.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-330-1991. That's 1-800-330-1991. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-330-1991. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage, egg croissant, plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did, for a breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Select a request $3 breakfast deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte combo orders.
Here's a financial tip from Discover with CBS business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Have you begun the process for estate planning? If not, here's Jill with the reason why you should.
Is it makes the disposition of your assets easier, but it also makes the process of settling an estate much easier.
We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how with Discover you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Peg Chamberlain Roop. Well, give us a call at 570-743-9565. We're talking about your child's education or your grandchildren's education and a bill that introduced by Senator Doug Mastriano that would require, it's Senate Bill 340, would require schools to post every textbook, school syllabus, and state academic standard for every course offered on a publicly accessible website. Mastriano says schools should be focused on teaching our children how to think, not not what to think. WRR writes, allowing parents to watch their children's classroom instruction is all well and good until your child or grandchild gets in trouble and ends up doing a perp walk to the principal's office. Meanwhile, some other parent is recording the incident and posts the entire video on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok with background music.
Right.
I am sure the parent of the disciplined student would be just so proud of their child. Please put your mind in gear before your mouth is in motion. I didn't recommend every class.
No, you didn't. It was one of our callers did. It's like put a camera in class. Well, you did. You said we did it on Zoom. Why can't we do it now?
No, I didn't say that. One of our callers said that. Okay. But Mark believes that that's something. He offered that as a possible alternative the other day, that we should have every class available for parents to look at.
No.
But, you know, you used to be able to, I don't know whether they still allow it or not, but parents used to be allowed to monitor a class if they were interested. They could come into the school district and they could sit in the kid's class for one period. I don't think they could be there all day, but
they
could.
No, but for the period that didn't concern, you know, I've done that. I have done that with my child. You know, one of my children had a learning disability very early, and I went and the teacher said, you're invited to, we'd like you to come in and watch. Pick a day. They didn't say this is the day you come, because then it would all be, you know, perfect, posy picture, perfect.
But I don't, but, you know, I look back at the differences between teachers then and now. I think that there's been a huge improvement in the quality of teachers and their training. I look back at some of the teachers I had in school, and I had a couple of great ones, and I had a couple of ones that I think probably should have been in jail rather than teaching people.
I had one that hit me and struck me. My father removed me from the classroom, said I never struck my children, neither will a teacher. And they moved me, and I'll tell you what, my father was my advocate, and when that happened, I attained great confidence. That happened in second grade. In second grade, a teacher punched me in the back while I was at the blackboard writing 2 + 2 = and I put the wrong answer down, I guess. I don't know. Right behind me, boom, right in the middle of my back, punched me, knocked me down. The kids around me were like shocked. I went home crying. I was removed from the classroom for the rest of the year. But what about the other kids that were in that room?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I look at it. I had a teacher, a Latin teacher. I'll never forget her, Miss Halbert, who was absolutely a terror. Now, outside the classroom, she was a lovely person. Everybody said, oh, how sweet she is. But in the classroom, man,
monster.
She scared us all to death.
Now, I had another teacher who actually I will attribute that made me a wonderful person as I grew up. I mean, she taught me wonderful things, taught me how to behave better and be a better person, and her name was Miss Farnham, and then the next teacher was Mrs. Driver, and they both have gone, but I love them very much.
Well, it's like the history teacher I had, Quentin Davidson. He made me love history, and that's why I wanted to teach it. Bill, you're on the mark from Bloomsburg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning. I hope Mark, he does listen, right?
Well, maybe not today. You know, Mark had lost his mother over the weekend.
Okay, well, here we go, right? This is shooting up the charts like you cannot believe, right?
What? This call? This show?
No, the show, but this song, right?
What song?
It's going platinum.
What?
You have to hear it, and I hope Mark enjoys it. I hope he's listening. Ready?
Okay.
I'm sorry. We can't allow you to play something like that over the phone. We can't hear it. Okay. I'm sorry. Call back,
that?
Bill.
What was that song?
I don't
song?
Know, but we can't, you know, we can't take responsibility for somebody playing music on the air.
We can't have music on the radio? my days.
Well, you can't.
I understand.
We don't know what it says. People to read things, and we don't allow people to call them. So, Bill, if you want to talk to us, call us back. We'll be happy to hear from you. But, you know, going back to what I was saying, I had a teacher in junior high school, in my last year in junior high school, who said to me, if you ever get out of here, it's going to be by the back door. You know, she didn't encourage me. She didn't try to help me. She just criticized everything I did. It was an English teacher. You know, and I often thought later on, and when I became fairly successful in my career, I always wanted to go back if I could have found her and said, hey.
Hey,
see
check
me now.
This out.
See me now.
See me now. I am mad.
And that
watch
was at Camp Curtin
more.
Junior High School in 1957. I don't think she's still alive.
Yeah, I did a teacher wrong in junior high school, Miss Boyle. She taught us about Arsve. She was a math teacher, and we were an accelerated class, so it turns out that the material was usually boring, and we would misbehave badly, and we mistreated Miss Boyle. She's not alive anymore, but I say I'm sorry over and over again if I meet her at the gates of heaven. We were bad to her, the whole class, not just me, you know. But the teachers have a hard job today.
Oh, they do.
They have to live up to steps 1 through 10 every day. They have to make sure, you know, it used to be the mask, a kid with a runny nose and a fever, and I'm related to the teachers in the office where my grandchildren go to school, you know.
We got to take a quick break for our final break of the day. We have a call coming in. We'll be right back with more of On the Mark.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
To prove that mobile from Pentel and Data Business Voice brings the office everywhere you are, I'm going to connect with my team while falling 15,000 feet!
We're here, boss. We hear you loud and clear.
Thanks, Janice. You know, companies today need affordable cloud-based unlimited calling, conferencing, mobile synergy, and easy upgrades to grow with your business to keep you, well, truly mobile.
Pentel Data Business Voice. Anywhere you are.
Janice?
Yeah, boss?
Yeah, I'm gonna need a little help.
If you own a small business, you've probably been hearing a lot about the ERC, how it's worth up to $26,000 per employee, how easy it is, you know the spiel. So why am I still talking to you about it now? Because many of you still haven't filed a claim, but Innovation Refunds can help you close the book on this thing. They're backed by one of those big CPA firms the corporations use, so they can determine once and for all if your business qualifies, and it's free to find out. Go to InnovationRefunds.com. That's InnovationRefunds.com.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants, to polos and khakis, to oxfords or t-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
I thought learning a language would be too much work, but Babbel makes learning fun. J'aime Babbel.
Babbel's lessons only take 10 or 15 minutes, and soon you turn and realize, hey, I'm starting to speak another language. How'd that happen?
Babbel isn't robots talking. You learn words and phrases from real native speakers. I was ready for real-life conversations in just a few weeks. So easy.
Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Tony Knapp, USC and UCLA want to be the only Big Ten show in the West. And that's what a lot of people don't seem to realize.
They definitely do not. They have no love lost for UW and Oregon. They were not partners. They did not help USC, UCLA, or the Pac-12 do what was necessary. They looked at themselves. So they're going to take a smaller cut to come join the Big Ten. I mean, talk about lack of leverage.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones with Final Four is set. We'll talk about it today. 3 to 5 News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. Peggy Chamberlain Roop is my co-host, and our producers Rob Center and Joe from Sunbury is on the line. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning.
All right, thank you. Hearts go out to Mark.
Thank you. I know that he appreciates it.
That's for sure. I don't really know much about this education situation or the bill and all that, but I would say Joe said something that maybe just an answer that. clarification. What's the difference between indoctrination and education?
Well, that's a good
Could
question.
Be educating and not indoctrinating.
I think indoctrination is where I tell you what to think. This is the way you should think about this.
Which brings in an adjacent question, if I might. How does this apply to parochial schools and Christian academies?
Right, which I'm not... right, in that area, I think they have... Let's just say they might have that right, but in a public school, we're going to have a situation, and I know we're talking that not so much around here because it's more homogenous, or, you know, everybody
right.
has a, more
That's
of a sit,
right.
but in
You're
the
right.
bigger cities is where you have the issues, where you have multiple cultures in one classroom and skin colors in one classroom, and that's kind of the point I'm at, where this law might not be for this area, but for bigger metropolitan areas. So yours is that they tell you what to think. But the 1619 project is one which I didn't fully read, but that has been a big controversy because of the slavery situation and all that. It's come out as being true, right? I think that's what they're teaching, and there's a lot of consternation about teaching it, and some shouldn't teach it, and it's kind of banned in some schools.
I think the best example is what happens on the news networks, and it's all of them, MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. They read the news stories, and all of them are fairly straight with reading the news story without editorial comment. But then the minute they read the story, they bring in their panel of experts whose job it is to tell you how you ought to feel about it.
Right. Now, that's adults, and that's news for profit, right? Not for our children.
Right.
But
that's
the
different
concept,
situation.
The concept is the same.
I will say, yeah, and they have their right to do that, and you have your right to turn it off. But when a child's in a classroom in a metropolitan area with many different children, they learn stuff at home, like kind of like what Joseph was saying about, you know, yeah, okay, let's take the test and have two right answers. You know, this is what I'm taught at home, and I don't know if that flies when you have... But the teacher wants one answer, right? That's right or wrong. I don't know if we have that in the schools today. I think that kind of left us a little bit about, you know, there's always some wiggle room and not, you know, for what's right and wrong anymore.
Hey, Joe, but let me ask you this. Let me ask you both this. Do you want to be the one that makes that decision? Do you?
Which,
really? Do you
which
want to,
decision
what's
is
right
that?
Or wrong? Do you want to be the one that decides
someone has
right
to, and that's the teacher.
But
and
is
that's
it you?
That's why you have the situation that, okay, I think part of it you're right with, now that it would be out there on the internet, every parent would be in and the teacher would be overwhelmed with people saying, well, this isn't, you know, every subject there would be people picking apart the curriculum. I think it would be overwhelming, but yet you said it would be for convenience, which... That's what we're trying to get for the parents. So it's such a... There's so many sides to this that I don't even know if it's either side, either situation, if you pass it or not, that it's going to help. I don't know.
I think the problem with what Joseph said is that you can't have more than one answer to a question. You have an opinion and an opinion.
Is factual that something, you know, the Big Bang he used in that for one, if you're taught in at home that the Big Bang was this and didn't even happen, and then you have to answer it correctly in school just to pass your school curriculum, so the kid is in a state of, you know, who's right, my teacher who's, you know, paid and skilled to teach me, or is it my parents that teach me this and I go to church and... believe in this way. So
maybe that's the thought process. There's the opportunity for the thought process.
But I think if you tend to send your child to a religious school, then I think if they're taught religion, you have no logical complaint. That's why you sent them there.
That's right. This is for the public schools.
If you send them to a public school, giving them a religious answer is probably not going to fly.
That's what I said. I don't know. This is such, I don't think oxymoron, but a puzzle that may not have... a piece to fit in there, because if you do put it online, I think it's going to be the teachers of different cultures, and again, not so much around here, but different cultures at home are going to look at it and they're going to go like, you know, take black people in the 1619 project, which, you know, was pretty much in the last 5 years you know, a book written about it, and that, you know, that's how it came to fruition. And there's many others. I just used that one because it was so prominent.
Fair enough. Okay, thank you, Joe. We appreciate
your
call.
Joe. Nice talking to you today.
One of our emailers says, WRR is always going to the extreme. Streaming classes would be a good thing for the education system. The teachers, the students, and parents would remain honest. There would have to be rules, like recording classes and posting on social media would have to be prohibited. Violators would have to be penalized. That said, let's fire up the Zoom.
I don't think so. Hey, and let's not forget those folks over on Miller Street where that terrible fire occurred in Sunbury. I just had to get that in today. Open up your hearts. Be kind. See what we can do to help.
Glad to have you here today. Mark Lawrence will be back tomorrow. I'm Joe McGranahan. Our producer's been Rob Center. You've been listening to On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. This is WKOK Sunbury.